You're listening to Suzy Radio with me, Christine Muir, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Graham Goldman from, of course, the very famous 10cc. Hello, Graham.
Hello there.
Hello. Now, the reason I'm talking to you is because you're off on a tour. This is the first tour for a couple of years now, isn't it? 23 dates, and you're going to be coming to Crawley as well, and Guildford. So Guildford is 2nd of November, Crawley's 3rd of November.
That's right.
And it's actually kicking off in just a few days' time. How do you keep your energy up for these gigs?
Well, because, you know, it's what you do, you know, it's kind of like your job. You want to do it. I mean, we love being on the road, and we love playing live, and the whole thing that goes with it. So there's no sort of fitness regime or anything.
No. Oh, there isn't. I was wondering, because, I mean, music is such a thing that obviously you're very good at songwriting, you're a multi-instrumentalist, as all the members of the original 10cc band were, and you started it off, and then you gave yourself a name a few years later, so that just describes how much you really enjoy it.
It was more that we did it for ourselves than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I got it.
We were never conscious, we never tried to write for the charts or anything like that, but obviously we listened to a lot of music, a lot of, you know, current music at the time.
Yes.
That's what created the songs, as well as the fact that we were all, you know, had our different influences and our common influences that brought together that created what was 10cc.
Sure. I wanted to talk to you about the studios as well. Strawberry Studios North, obviously, is where you started off from in Stockport. And then you came down to Dorking, which is just very near us. So did you actually move yourself to Dorking around that area as well, or did you just travel there?
No, I didn't. What happened was that Kevin and Lon and Eric moved down to, they lived in various parts, you know, home counties.
Yeah.
I stayed up in the north of England, and I used to commute a lot.
Oh, right, okay.
Flying to Gatwick, in and out of Gatwick every week.
So a lot of travelling then to get down here.
A lot of travelling. I mean, eventually I did move to London in 1986, but it was a long time coming. I didn't want to move down particularly, so it entailed a lot of travelling for me, but it was fine, you know, I didn't mind, it was worth it.
Yeah, so you didn't get to hang out in Dorking much, it was just very much work and then come back.
Well, didn't hang out, we used to, you know, go to a few restaurants there, and so I knew King Street quite well.
Yeah, it's still a nice place to eat out.
Yes, it's lovely there.
Yeah, and there's a dedicated website now to the studios, and there's a Facebook actually for Strawberry South as well. There's a guy who runs it called Peter. He's actually arranging an exhibition to mark the Strawberry Studios 50th anniversary.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, lots of old photographs of you and everyone who recorded there, because of course not only 10cc, but you've written songs for an awful lot of people and had your fingers in a lot of musical pies over the years.
Musical pie, I like that.
And I wanted to talk to you about I'm Not In Love as well, because that song is the one that catapulted you into making money and signed you with Mercury Records. It was a major breakthrough for the band at the time.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's going to be the song that 10cc, I think, will always be remembered for.
Yeah, definitely. And you wrote that, didn't you, with Eric? Do you remember how that song kind of came about? Because I gather it started off as a sort of bossa nova beat kind of record, and then it turned into...
We recorded two versions of it. The first version didn't work very well, but the song stayed in our heads, and eventually, I think it was Kevin came up with a different rhythm for it, and Lowell came up with this idea that we should do it with voices, you know, lots of voices, which we did.
It just works brilliantly.
It's fantastic. When you're singing it, it has a kind of its own world, you know, it's like... It's extraordinary, really.
It is extraordinary, it really is. I read as well that the studio staff were apparently just wandering around singing it before you sort of revamped it and put all their voices on it. 256 voices overlaid, which makes it sound so lush with the choir-like feel to it, I think. That helps as well. And the lady singing Big Boys Don't Cry, Kathy, she was a receptionist, is that right, at Strawberry Studios?
Yeah, she was the receptionist at the studio, and I think it was Lowell's idea. He said, we need a girl to sing Big Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah.
And she came in, took about, I don't know how many takes, maybe one or two even, and then we had it.
Wow. It is incredible, and friends of mine who I just say to them, what's the one song that you remember? That's always the one song that lots of people have covered it, haven't they?
Yeah, lots of people have done it, yes.
Yeah, and the album Deceptive Bends as well, I'll mention, because that's got a local theme to it, because that title of the album was written about the A24 between Leatherhead and Dorking.
That's right. Well, at one point, I actually rented a house in London, and I used to go down on that road every single day.
Yeah.
And I saw that sign, and it stuck in my mind. Rather a subtle thing for the Ministry of Transport to, you know, put a sign up saying deceptive bends rather than dangerous.
That's right. It all sounds so fine, doesn't it?
A slightly dodgy bend. I had that in my mind, but also deceptive bends has the initials DB.
Okay.
And DBs are what you measure sound in.
Decibels, yeah.
And our agent at the time was Danny Batesh, though there was another DB. I think there are a few more DBs.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so DB and deceptive bends became a thing.
Yeah, no, that's good, because we like to have a local connection there as well.
But yeah, massive. Yeah, I don't think it's there now, that sign anymore.
No, but that album, because that was when you sort of broke off from Goddy and Cream and there was the three of you, so you had to prove yourself, which you did, because that album was very successful. And so you had a number six single, Things We Do For Love, from that one. And then the next album, Spawn, Dreadlock Holiday, which got to number one. The team you're touring with at the moment, you've been together for like a 10 years or more, so it's a nice unit.
Yeah, I mean, Rick has been with the band since 1976.
Yeah.
Paul Burgess has been with us since 1973.
So that's great. So you're all a good team.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all good. So what do you think now is your motivation? Are you going to write any new stuff? I know individually, sort of solo, you've written new stuff, but for 10cc, it's when you do a live concert, is it a lot of the old hits or are there some new bits in? Or?
Well, we do all the, you know, we do all the hits, obviously. We must do those.
Of course, yeah.
But we do lots of album tracks as well.
Oh, okay.
And a couple of surprise things.
Oh, surprises. We like surprises.
Have a surprise.
Yeah. And you've got your website now, 10ccworld.com, which I'll point people to.
Okay.
Opened in 2009. Yeah, so, and you had your 40th anniversary, May 2012, at the concert at the Royal Albert Hall. What was that like?
It was absolutely brilliant. Probably one of the greatest venues in the world. Well, certainly
it's
one
amazing.
Of the nicest venues I've ever played in. It was a wonderful atmosphere. It was tremendous to do. First of all, London gig, because lots of our friends came and family, which was great. And it's a very magical place. We are doing that again, the Albert Hall, next year sometime.
Great. Well, that's lovely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I'm really looking forward to coming to see you in Crawley.
I hope you enjoy it.
I will do. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.